Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show, the Chuck and Julie grassroots show, Truth Straight Up, with me, Julie Hayden, and Chuck Bonniewell, who is joining us on the phone from the world headquarters of the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle. Chuck, you're hard at work. They're putting out the newspaper, right?
That's right. That's right. Getting the truth out to the folks.
There we go. And we have with us, we're going to start at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have We're going to have Can you hear us okay, Chuck? We're going to have John Mills coming on. But we're going to start off with Dr. Brian Junedep. Had a great column again in American Thinker. Dr. Junedep, thank you once again for your time. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Yeah. So the title of your thing was "Time for the Never Trumpers to Put on Their Big Boy Pants," which I think some of them have very big boy pants. But why don't I just let me go ahead and let you explain it. What was your thought there?
Can you hear me?
Yes, Chuck, we can hear you.
Okay.
We can. Okay, go ahead, John. Go ahead, Brian.
I'm hearing from a lot of so-called Republicans that they cannot vote for Trump in good conscience because they don't like his mean tweets, his name calling, his personality. He's this, he's that. They have all sorts of excuses which are directed at feelings, not at policy and positions and what he accomplished in his first 4 years. And by holding your nose and voting Democrat, I mean, I don't know how a Republican could vote for the Democrat ticket or not voting or voting third party or something like that. You're really giving away the election and the country to the Democrats, and knowing what they stand for in terms of they're both basically Marxists. They want to regulate everything. They want price controls. They want to tax unaccrued gains. They're doing things that are going to destroy the country, the economy, the social issues, the foreign policy, the wars, the economy, everything. They're doubling down on what's been happening for the past 4 years. And for example, there's one I know, I'm a Republican, I voted for Reagan, but, I voted for Hillary in 2016 and Biden in 2020. And I'm like, how can you say you're a Republican? Why would you vote for Reagan if you voted for those two clowns?
Right.
Well, the Reagan, every Democrat I meet now that's really a rhino and so forth, they always say, I voted for Reagan. And in some cases, you weren't born when Reagan. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. A Reagan Republican now means, that you're really a Democrat. Not that Reagan was a Democrat. Reagan was great. But today's excuse, if you're a Republican and really a rhino, you say, I cared about Ronald Reagan, which is just an excuse for saying, I'm a turncoat, but I don't want to say it.
Well, Reagan was 40 years ago, and he's not on the ballot. So
it
really comes down to it's a binary choice, and it's voting against two people or two administrations, basically, now that Harris has tossed Biden overboard. It's basically two incumbents, and they have track records to run on. Trump is not a novice. He hasn't. This is not his first election. He has a 4-year track record, and we know what things were like in terms of foreign wars, border security, the economy. Yeah, Trump didn't do everything perfectly. No Republican will. But things were a heck of a lot better. And if you just ask yourself the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? On so many accounts, that's an easy answer. But this is a binary choice. And if you're voting on feelings rather than policy, get yourself a therapist and get over yourself and your feelings, because this is too important. This is the country we're leaving kids and grandkids.
And, you know, and you put a perfect point there. It's like, we know what 4 years of Trump looks like. We know what 4 years of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden looks like, which you prefer. And I have a hard time with people who like say, and I agree with you. I think some of them are sincere. Some of them are just being jerks, I think, and they don't want to admit that they're traitors, but some are sincere. It's like, so you can complain about Trump's mean tweets, but you're okay that Kamala Harris is okay with letting babies die and then calling that abortion after they're born, right? I mean, it's kind of like, okay, well, one is mean, but one is like, is evil, you know? And I agree with, it's like, and so you would rather have that kind of thing, you know, and you look at some of the transgender stuff they're pushing in schools. You look at the fact, what did I say? The Biden administration lost almost 300,000 children, illegal immigrants. They have no idea where they are in the country. And you're worried because Donald Trump is insulting. I mean, and look what Barack Obama did last night and Michelle Obama. I mean, to me, it's like they're just I don't even understand that kind of thinking. And I think your column is just so great. It's like, just get over it and help us save the country.
What
it really is they get to feel morally superior.
Yeah.
And that allows them to feel morally superior, just like Democrats feel morally superior. And they can tell you they voted for Reagan. They really are conservatives. And it's BS. They know they're destroying the country, but they feel that if they say that, they say it with such fervor and honesty and caringness, and you know, they're beyond the pale. I mean, they really are. If you're one of those people, you should be ashamed of yourself, just ashamed. At least Democrats believe in all the garbage. They believe in war in Ukraine. They believe in 10 million, 20 million more people coming across the border. They believe all those things, so you can't say they're you know. But one of those people you're talking about is more repulsive than a Democrat who really believes in the destruction of the United States, while these other people pretend they care, but they really don't.
It's interesting about the Democrats. They are all about policy and positions. Right. They were gung-ho behind Biden until his horrible debate performance, and they threw him aside in a heartbeat, and embracing Harris. They don't care about Harris. They care about her positions and that she's basically a Marxist. So they're not worried about the personality and any aspects to their personal life, whether, you know, dementia or potential drinking or philandering or whatever. That none of that's important, or their name calling. They're all about position and policy, and Republicans are not. And it's like, get over it. You're not marrying Trump. You're not going on vacation with him. You're not moving in with him. It's not going to be your Valentine. Just he's your president and the leader of the free world. And the world is changing rapidly over the past 4 years. It's a very different place. There's new alliances between Iran and Russia and China and BRICS countries. Things are taking a turn not in America's favor. There's really nothing going on outside the U.S. that's beneficial to the U.S. It's all against us.
Same thing internally too, right? It's like,
oh, absolutely internally, but it's things are changing, and that's the world we're going to live in. I use the analogy of the doctor. You can have a doctor with great bedside manner who's soothing and holds your hands and can't make a diagnosis, but holds your hand while you die. Or you can have somebody obnoxious like Dr. House from the TV show that's abrasive and calls people names and insults everybody. But guess what? He comes up with the diagnosis. You get proper treatment and you leave the hospital alive.
Minor detail. Well, let me ask you to switch a little bit, because I know Chuck, so none of the rest of us have to, has been watching the DNC. But the parts that I've been watching, I read it was a comment, was that, oh, nobody does hypocrisy better than the Democrats. It's been like watching this. It's been fun to see them destroy Joe Biden, throw him under the bus. I don't know what they threatened him with to force him to drop out. Then they have the, oh, we love Joe Biden. And then his goofy daughter, who was a drug sex addict, who he showered inappropriately with, calls her the OG. I mean, just this eulogy. Hunter Biden wanders onto the stage. And this is like the loving Joe Biden family. We all love Joe. He's the greatest thing. When they were trying to destroy him, just a matter of, you know, literally days ago. I mean, what do you, have you watched any of the convention?
Very little, mostly as you did, little clips here and there.
Yeah,
but you guys are missing some good stuff.
The clips are fine. I got the gist of it. But they like Joe so much they gave him the worst spot possible.
Yeah.
First day of the convention, late at night, midnight Eastern time, hours past his bedtime. I mean, I don't know what he was juiced up on to get him coherent during that time.
A second round. You know, they had to give him a second round. They said, okay, juice him up again. It may kill him, but we've got to get him yelling and screaming and berating and telling everybody that, you know.
You don't do that to the he's the current president. They're acting like he's, you know, still Senator Joe Biden.
Do you think we're going to see him?
He should be in prime time introducing Harris as the nominee. They got him out the first night and he's gone.
Do you think we'll see him again? I kind of personally don't. Okay.
I don't think so. I mean, he's shipped off to California and who knows what he's doing, where. He's probably back in his infirmary in Rehoboth Beach. And who knows what he's doing? I mean, he's really a president in name only at this point.
Right.
I haven't seen him say or do anything that's presidential. He's like, if you look at the news cycle, there is no president.
Yeah, well, it never has been for 4 years. I mean, whoever's making the decisions, they're still making them. It's nothing new. I mean, this is he hasn't been in charge of anything since he came.
Well, I agree with that, but at least there was the charade of the media covering and President Biden this and President Biden that. It's been radio silence since he dropped out. We don't hear anything about him. If you didn't know any better, you'd think, well, he's resigned. He's not the president anymore. Actually, he still is.
Well, the funny part is that no one actually thinks that Kamala is in charge. Nobody believes that she is. So, I mean, she's been as absent as he has, although she could, you know, she can speak a sentence without stuttering and losing her train of thought. But nobody goes, oh, well, Kamala is making all the decisions. She's not.
And she's going to fix all the problems that she created. It's like she's running as an outsider. She's campaigning against herself. And that's got Obama's fingerprints all over it. He did that for 8 years. He was always the outsider. And he was always complaining about what was happening under his watch. And he's going to fix it. And he's going to do that. Rather than just do that. She's been there 4 years as the vice president, and all the problems that she's complaining about happened on her watch. So now she's going to fix it. This is Obama's the one running the show. He's pulling the strings, and he's got Susan Rice and Jake Sullivan and whoever else is in there that's are acting on his behalf. But make no mistake, this is his third term, fourth term, if you
And I think just look at a little bit of the coverage last night. So Michelle Obama spoke and she abandoned her whole, even Politico said she abandoned the pretense of going high, right? She went low and attacked Trump. Barack Obama attacked Trump, got low himself. But I mean, the crowd loved him. It was like the Obama show. And Kamala wasn't even there. Kamala went to some campaign appearance. It's like, well, wait, the DNC, it's like the biggest campaign appearance there could be, right? And she's not even there. And I think you're right. It's like they're kind of like, about Kamala, you don't need to be here. We, the Obamas, are the ones running things. And they were the highlight, I'm sure, of the whole convention and on purpose, I think.
Well, she's not nominated till she's nominated. So it's looking less and less likely that there'll be a change of batter at the last minute. But again, she's not officially the nominee until she is.
Well, a funny thing, though, too.
Who knows what's going
on? They voted. I mean, they voted weeks ago. So she's been the nominee for several weeks.
But she's got to accept it.
Don't they have to do it officially at the DNC? I don't know the rules on it.
No. They changed it all. They did it.
Well, unless they decide.
And she's it, and she's They're stuck with her.
You guys keep in mind, though, these are Democrats. They can change the rules however they want, whenever they want to change them. So, you know what's funny? I think you got to, I love the Trump campaign. So Kamala Harris really hasn't, except for to campaign against her own policies, right? She hasn't issued any policy. So the Trump campaign launched a website, Kamala2024policies.com, which is great. I mean, they have the name. It's pretty funny. And it's like release murderers, completely open borders. I mean, it's all the things she's actually for and doing. But they were noting, I just think it's funny, her website apparently has no policies on it anyway. So, because they can't, right? She can't put Marxism, you know, grocery store, you know, got price rigging and all that kind of stuff.
And she can't reverse the policies that she's had for the past 4 years with Biden. That's it. It puts her in the box. Democrat platform had Joe Biden's name, I don't know, 50 odd times. Or we're going to reelect Joe Biden. Well, guess what? He's not running. But that didn't seem to register in
the, or matter.
The higher ups of the Democrat Party.
The high point of last night was Barack Obama's speech. He gets out there and he gave the same speech he gave, you know, in wherever he's first elected, 2008 or 2012, in which he says, look, you know, we're not, you know, we can't hate each other. We must be civil. You know, we can all agree about this. We have more in common, you know, all the reasonable stuff of hope and change and racial reconciliation that he did when he first came. Except back then, people could believe that actually he meant what he was saying. Last night, it was just kind of like, this is hilarious. You don't believe any of that. And it's so incredibly clear that you pretend one and do the other, which is what all of them on the Democratic Party do. They've figured out, they've gone back over elections. Okay, if you run on the left, and you know that's McGovern, that's Dukakis, that's all of them, you lose. If you pretend you're a moderate, and that includes Biden, he pretends he's a moderate, Obama, Clinton, and all of them, then you win. Now, all you have to do is pretend you're moderate, and then the dummies will vote for you. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
Well, it's low information voters, as Rush used to describe them. And Obama may say that, and in the next breath, Trump is Hitler. The high point, I thought, from at least the highlights I saw, was Michelle Obama talking about rich people and how much do you really need? Meanwhile, she's got three multi-million-dollar homes and is worth, I don't know, $70, $80 million. How much does she need? Does she need the big house on Martha's Vineyard and in D.C. and in Hawaii and in Chicago? Or, you know, like me, maybe one house is fine.
Well, you know, it depends on what you need. See, Brian, that's the thing. Her needs are different than our needs and your needs. If you need more than one house, you're awful. But she's Michelle Obama. She needs those things, right? I mean, that's where I go back to. Nobody does hypocrisy better than the Democrats. I'm sure nobody writing the speech, nobody in the audience, no one stopped to think. She gets paid, what, $850,000 a speech or something ridiculous like that? No one's up to think, Michelle, that's a little.
Don't exaggerate, Shirley, $750,000.
Oh, $750,000. It's like, I mean, how much does she need to give a speech? I mean, none of them seem to say, should we really put that line in there? It's like, no, go ahead and go for it. You know, no one calls her out on it.
Well, they all do that. There's a climate conference in Europe and everybody flies in on their private Gulfstream with a huge carbon footprint.
Yeah.
If you were really conscientious, join by Zoom and spare the atmosphere. Or fly commercial and spare the atmosphere. But no, they're in their big jets, John Kerry, whoever they, you know, because they're important.
Right, right. What about one? I'm going to switch gears a little bit and ask you. So this kid just coming out, RFK Jr. is holding a news conference Friday to address the nation on his plans going forward. He's going to be in Phoenix. Coincidentally, Donald Trump is going to be in Phoenix as well. Apparently, Kennedy's vice presidential nominee indicated that they were thinking about throwing their support behind Trump, and Trump said, hey, that I'm fine with that. What do you make of all that? I mean, RFK has done some weird stuff, so I don't know if he's just messing around with us, or what do you think?
I won't believe it until he announces that he's endorsing Trump, because RFK Jr. is a Democrat. He comes from a legacy Democrat family. yes, he's got some positions that are very appealing to conservatives in terms of border and foreign wars and big medicine and things like that. But I think he'd be an asset for Trump. I think put him in charge of make him Secretary of Health and Human Services and clean up the three-letter health agencies because they're out of control. But I'll believe it when it happens. Yes, they're in the same city on the same day. Coincidence? Not a coincidence. I don't know. So right now we're speculating his VP candidate may be hinting at something or maybe gaslighting us. I really don't know. At the end of the day, Kennedy is a Democrat. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but, I'll believe it when it happens.
Exactly.
Well, I'm his vice presidential candidate is, ex-wife Rich, and she was supposed to help fund the campaign, and she must go, no, we're running out of money. I ain't putting all my money in. We're getting out of this deal.
Well, it's a fool's errand. He's not going to get elected. There's zero chance of that. So he can get his voice out there, but the Democrats are adamantly opposed to him on the ballot in any blue states. They're pushing to keep him on the ballot in red states so he can pull votes from Trump. I've listened to a lot of interviews that he's done, whether with Tucker or Joe Rogan, and it makes a lot of sense. But at the end of the day, it's Trump's story about the snake that he loves to tell at his rallies, and the snake is a snake, and they turn around and do what snakes do. So it'd be great if he does, but I will wait and see.
I think when he called, he and Trump had the conversation with Trump was at the RNC, and then he leaked it, right? Mm-hmm. And then he pretended like, oh my God, I can't believe my staffer leaked it. It's like, of course you knew your staff. And then he talks to Kamala Harris campaign. I mean, yeah, a part of me is wondering, is he just sort of finagling for a job on Harris's campaign too, right? Or in her administration by saying, having her people say, oh, we can't have him there. I agree with you too. It's like, I don't think he's to be trusted. And I think Donald Trump is smart enough not to have any phone conversations with him anymore,
Oh, sure. It'll be in person. I think he could be an asset to the ticket because he pulls a lot of, kind of the never Trumpers and people that are offended by Trump's, name calling, that crowd. And he may pull some of them along. Colorado, isn't he on the
ballot?
Colorado, because the Libertarian Party here, can't find their way out of a paper bag, and they're, they don't even have a nominee. They've got RFK, so it's who knows what's going to happen.
Right. Well, I think it would be good if he is, because I agree with you. I think he'll pull some votes there. Well, let me just final question then for you. I mean, what do you think, at least for me, and maybe Chuck has more, in terms of, you look for bumps coming out of the convention and the polling is all over the place, which I don't believe any of it anymore. How do you see going forward? I think it's going to be a close race now that Biden's out. And a lot of it, I think, is going to come down to ballot harvesting and the Democrats and how much they do of that. You're sort of looking ahead. What do you see?
Well, I'll be more blunt. It'll come down to cheating and stuffing ballot counts on election night. And, 3 days later, after figuring how many votes and manufacturing them, then all of a sudden Harris is in the lead. My feeling is that Trump knows exactly what happened in 2020. And if he hasn't fixed it or done things behind the scenes, and he's not going to tell us what he's done, if he hasn't fixed things and we get the same outcome, that's on him. Trump is a smart guy. He doesn't like to lose. He got burned in 2020. My gut feeling is that's not going to happen again, but I don't see a lot of evidence of that, but I wouldn't expect to either.
Right.
But if he hasn't done anything working with the Republicans or whoever to fix the problems of 2020, it's going to be deja vu and he'll lose again.
Right.
So I don't think he would do that.
Well, when it really comes down to, they just have to cheat in various key counties and key states with large black constituency. Have Clyde, what's his name, come in?
Clyburn.
and cheat like hell, and we know nothing will happen if it's after the election. And so I don't know what they do. They kidnap Clyburn, but it's an incredibly small number of counties that they need to cheat on.
Well, that's it was a handful of counties last time, and it's just send out a bunch of ballots to parking lots and parking garages to names that are on the voter rolls, and the ballots are returned, and somebody picks them up at the post office, fills them out, and they're voted, and that's it. How do you combat that? Yes, there are ways, but again, if Trump hasn't fixed the problems of 2020, they will repeat themselves in 2024. And well, if I know that, you know that, I'm sure Trump knows that. So
right.
The one good part is because campaigns have trouble campaigning and doing the nitty gritty is the RNC is no longer in control of people who really want the RNC for whatever reason not to do anything except buy enormous amounts of flowers for their events. the prior RNC has been just awful. This new RNC appears to be 100 times better.
Well, exactly. That was the Romney, Ryan, Bush wing of the party. And they wanted Trump to lose. That's why they didn't do anything. They looked the other way. So we have new leadership there. Hopefully it doesn't happen. Whatever changes they're doing or arrangements they're making, they're certainly not going to broadcast because this is strategy. It's just like the
Democrats don't broadcast
on a football team. You don't tell the defense what play you're going to run.
Right.
Let them figure it out.
All right. Hey, well, Brian, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Good to talk to you.
We will talk to you. Okay. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you, sir.
Good. See you guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Brian Jumped up there. Check out his columns at American Thinker. He's got them all over. Thank you, sir. I think if we want to go ahead, hey, Doug, if you want to go ahead and call Colonel Mills, we can go ahead and do that too. Colonel John Mills, we've had him on before too. He had another interesting column too. Well, Chuck, yeah, I think, you know, while we're waiting to get Colonel Mills, I hope Brian Jumped up this right, because here's the trouble. And we could talk a little bit about this with Colonel Mills. It's like if we don't get this ballot harvesting and cheating under control, I mean, if we lose this, we're never going to. I mean, well, it's gone forever, I think. Yeah. And then we got, you know, Kent Theory. It's pretty clear that his initiative to have jungle primaries and ranked choice voting is going to make the ballot in Colorado in November.
Hooray.
And there's a ton of money. Hooray. And well, yeah. And, you know, Colorado Public Radio, I don't always like it very much, but they did do at least it was a good interview where they talked to him and all these other billionaires around the country who are joining in this. It's not just Kent Theory in Colorado. They're all over.
Right.
To me, that's one of the biggest things that we have to worry about, don't you think?
I agree. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Oh, and okay. Hey, Doug, let me just a program, you know, okay. If you could try. Okay, good. Try again. We might be a minute or two early. While we're waiting for that, this is kind of funny. One of the funny things, you know, the Democrats, they have their talking points and they literally get emails, right? They put out email blasts. The DNC does, and the Democrats do, telling everybody what the talking points are. And so we had joyful, we had weird. Well, the new term is electric. And Chuck, you found this sound clip this morning. It's brilliant. It's all the people talking about how electric the DNC is. And you know what? I don't know. Doug, you didn't get the electric soundbite. We may have to use that later. We had a bit of a producer scheduling change. Okay, never mind. Well, that's all right. We didn't get that. Never mind. We'll play that on Friday. But they go through all of the hosts who are saying it's electric. It's electrifying. It's electric. It's electric. They clearly don't feel stupid doing that, Chuck. But it's kind of like they all get the script and then they read from it, right?
Well, they've realized, just like in advertising, you can't just say it once. You have to say it repeatedly. And if they went to a thesaurus and found all these different words for meaning electric, it would be nowhere near as effective. It's pounding the same message time and time and time again. You hear it 50 times and pretty soon you're saying electric yourself.
And they've learned
that. And it's clear that there is a, you know, an official place we look for the talking points of the day, and they just repeat it. And, you know, often they will get, you know, Republicans repeating themselves gender-affirming care. You know, it drives me nuts when people go gender-affirming care.
Hey, we have Colonel Mills. Let me interrupt you real quick, Chuck. We have Colonel Mills with us. So Colonel John Mills had an interesting column up about this, a recent hack of Social Security identity theft. So Colonel Mills, thank you. Welcome back to the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, Julie and Chuck, thank you. Always an honor to be on your show.
Likewise.
Good to have you. So you had, there was a news came out that that there was this hack, 2.9, almost 3 billion, I guess identities were stolen. They were talking about from Social Security, and you had a column where you point out, well, that's interesting because there's only 350 million people that it could have been. I mean, and what are, well, that, well, you're the,
well,
only,
you're forgetting the rest of the planet, Julie. The rest of the planet now has Social Security numbers.
You're the only person.
This story doesn't even make any sense. I mean, why are there 3 billion? I mean, nobody has challenged this. I mean, what in the world have we generated? I mean, are they talking about dead people, I mean, several generations ago? I mean, this is a ridiculous number. And what was taken was the Social Security numbers, but also the names, also the telephone numbers. Also the addresses, essentially exactly what you need to do an industrial level ballot application process, i.e. create a lot of fake ballots to be mailed. And this is just overwhelming any reasonable, the modicum of security and control measures we have in the election process. At this scale, I mean, it is ridiculous. Now, it was passed off as, oh, yeah, these are just on the dark web for individuals to just pick and choose which Social Security number. That's not what's going on. Thieves like to operate on an industrial scale. And they're not, you know, the real villains that are out there are not just picking one name here and one name there. They want large, large, large numbers of names. And again, this is the exact same data that is needed to apply for ballots, mail-in ballots in various states. So this is extremely concerning, and this is just, we're being overwhelmed with so many black swan events. You know, here's one more black swan event, and as they've conducted a coup and replaced Biden as president, and Kamala's and everybody else acting as if nothing's happened. I mean, this is just ridiculous. The game is on.
You know, and Colonel Rosen, yeah, I mean, I have to give you kudos, right? Because I saw that story and I'm like, oh, and I think they count anymore. I mean, every day it's like, you know, blah, 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 you know, Verizon was hacked. This was hacked. Everybody was hacked and you get used to it. You don't even pay attention. And when you point out 2.9, and I've looked and I kind of searched, all kinds of news agencies reported it, right? 2.9 billion Social Security. And no one except you was smart enough to say, wait a minute, there aren't 2.9 billion people actively on Social Security right now. But I think they rely on us being dumb and not questioning it. And as soon as you read that, and I read your column, because you have so much experience with the deep state, I mean, who do you see behind this?
I think this is really... Anybody who wants to make sure Donald J. Trump is not elected president, let's start with Iran. Let's start with China. Let's start with Kamala's campaign. I mean, come on. And that's also kind of raises an interesting aspect here. We have this report that the DOJ and FBI are looking into it, that Iran has hacked President Trump's, the Trump campaign account. Okay. Well, that's interesting. And then we have this very interesting, extremely slow response of Iran to the, on 31 July, Haniyeh, the Hamas leader, was assassinated in downtown Tehran, or in Tehran. So, isn't this interesting? Well, is there a reason why Iran? Maybe Iran has stolen all this information. Maybe some of our IC entities, intelligence community entities, are believe me, if the Iranians have this stuff, we are probably watching the Iranians steal this stuff, which means we probably have the copies. We probably have all the documents inside the U.S. government from the Trump campaign, which means what? Well, let's just, who was at the center of the early 2016 scam and unmasking? It was Jake Sullivan, who's now the National Security Advisor. Are you kidding me? Do you think if the Iranians had ripped it off, we probably have copies of what they've ripped off because we're watching what they're doing?
Well, I mean, maybe, but I mean,
Jake Sullivan has seen it, which means, are you telling me the Kamala campaign hasn't seen this? Are you kidding me? Of course they've seen it. This is it. So they're very happy to let Iran rip off Trump campaign documents because this just gives them an opportunity to, look at what's been taken and then hand it to Kamala campaign. I mean, we got an absolutely reckless, out-of-control government that is making sure everything possible is done to make sure Donald J. Trump doesn't win.
Well, and let's go back to, when they knew this was a lie, but when the Clinton campaign was trying to say, oh, the Russians hacked the DNC, the FBI, I mean, look at all the investigations and the hullabaloo about that, right? It's like, then Iran hacks Trump campaign, no big deal, right? Well, and back to your, I mean, because I just think that is such an alarming, and it needs to be brought out in the open. Like you said, given the lack of cleansing of voter rolls, right? And knowing what we know about how the Democrats do these massive ballot harvesting, like, you have to have, we have George Soros paid for secretaries of state and clerks and recorders and district attorneys. So as you said, these millions of ballots are going to be mailed out potentially to who knows where and how, filled out and sent back in, and then they're counted. And once they're counted, as we've already seen, there's really not very much you can do. So I think you're right. It's all connected to people who want to stop Trump. Don't you think?
I sure think it looks suspicious. And like it is, I mean, they're smothering. We don't have a black swan event. We're getting asphyxiated by black swan events to essentially make us docile, overwhelm us, and give us a state of essentially despair. There's nothing we can do. So I mean, they're throwing everything at this possible. And again, they forced out Biden. I would assert this is an unlawful coup. Now, some people, they did a coup against President Trump. Well, they didn't do that until election time. We've never seen a sitting president essentially get forced out. Are you kidding me? Are you telling me that Biden is still making decisions? Of course not. I mean, you got some GS-15 sitting in the White House Situation Room taking the call, and they might be the ones with the nuclear football, not even because we don't know where Biden is half the time, or he's napping. I mean, this is absolutely our government. We don't even know who the president is at this point in time.
What do you think
maybe it's a possibility that the Biden campaign, who gave it to Obama, who gave it, already had all the Social Security numbers. But when this massive dump goes in across the country, it's clear somebody was stealing all these Social Security numbers, and they would be the likely target. They go, oh, don't you remember the hack? The big hack, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the game. You know, where in the world is DHS CISA on top of these 3 billion Social Security? Everybody's like, they got them, Oh, well, guys, this is like a flaming four-alarm fire, and, this is a corrupt deep state essentially trying to steal an election again from the American people, and they are doing it on an industrial scale, and I don't see any modicum of concern, curiosity out of DHS CISA on 3 billion Social Security numbers, and it's just not the numbers. It's the names, it's the addresses, it's the telephone numbers, the four basic data elements needed to apply for a mail-in ballot in the different states. So this is Are you kidding me? You don't think they're not using AI to just mass generate these ballots? Of course they are, and they're doing it and having them all mailed to common locations, and then some NGO that's making money from the government ushering in all these illegals, goes out, picks them up, and makes sure they're voted. I mean, guys, this is a criminal organization we're dealing with. The good news is we are the majority. The bad news is they seem to really have gained control of a lot of these key basic institutions of governance. So we gotta figure out how to break this stranglehold. We're the majority, but they have the institutions.
Let me ask another question. Let me ask you a different question on a totally different subject, but maybe you have some thoughts. What do you think of the Ukrainian incursion into Kursk and gaining several hundred miles of land?
It's the equivalent so far, the last time I checked, which was like yesterday. It's equivalent to about 22 Manhattans, if everybody can just visualize the big island of Manhattan top to bottom in New York City. Essentially 22 of those. Now we're starting to talk about some serious gains here. It appears that the Ukrainians really caught the Russians essentially leaving a vulnerability, leaving essentially undefended space, and they've crossed the border. Now, I would say in many ways this is a bold and daring move by Zelensky to grab as much Russian space as possible in advance of negotiations for the end of conflict, and says, hey, you want your terrain back? Fine. You hand me back Donbass and or Crimea. So this is a daring and bold. The only challenge with this, the Russians have greater mass. They've taken immense casualties, but they still have more troops, even though they may be very poorly trained, poorly equipped. They have greater troops. And this is classic Clausewitzian maneuver warfare. They've been able to break out this from under this cloud of killer drones that both the Russians and the Ukrainians have been using each other, that has basically brought everything to a standstill since last summer. This is a breakout into maneuver warfare on the exact same planes where the greatest tank battle in human history took place in July and August of 1943.
Yes, that's exactly right. Where the Germans, in a desperate move to kind of get the offensive going again, or not England, they had the Battle of Kursk, which was a disaster, an absolute disaster, no different than the Battle of the Bulge, where they try to, and that's what you really wonder whether, you know, they've expended an enormous amount of resources, and really it's a desperate act, and it may result in the same way that the Battle of Kursk in 1944. It really inhibits and destroys their defensive fight against the Russians in Donbass and everywhere else. I mean, this could be a total debacle. And, you know, it starts out sounding great, but in the end, they've expended an enormous amount that could have been used to fight off the Russians in the eastern provinces.
Well, yeah, I mean, a little bit of a different scenario in the massive 2-month tank battle of Kursk. It was huge masses of armored forces against each other. Now, the Russians had a number of prepared defensive belts that the Germans used. Again, these are classic Clausewitzian maneuver tactics to essentially envelop or on each side. But here it appears the Ukrainians have found essentially undefended space, a lot different than massive prepared, multiple tiers of prepared defense. They've essentially found, but again, they can overextend themselves and make themselves vulnerable. It does not appear the Russians have been able to organize some form of a counterattack. The problem is if they keep on going to Voronezh, I don't think they've achieved the outskirts of Kursk, the city, yet. I just don't see them having, the Ukrainians having enough force to do that. But the next on, I think it's the E-38 highway. The next one is Voronezh. And what was Voronezh? Remember last spring? That's the town the Wagner group passed through on their way to Moscow when the Wagner group was having a disagreement with Putin. So they blew, the Wagner group blew through Voronezh, which is also a major holding area for Soviet nuclear, Russian nuclear warheads. That's also very interesting. I just don't see the Ukrainians having enough force to actually hit Kursk and then go beyond Kursk toward Voronezh. I just don't see that. But again, so far, a bit different than Kursk, where you had two well-equipped, massive armies fight it out for 2 months. Here, a relatively light force of Ukrainians has essentially realized, it's good. There's no Russians here. Let's go. And then the Russians are going... The Russians are going, holy smokes, if they keep going, they actually will cut us off from Moscow. So the Russians are attempting, but I'm not seeing evidence of the Russians. It's a high-risk operation on both sides, and they could be at a point where the Ukrainians are overextended, and the Russians are able to hit their flanks and cut off the whole advance. If they're able to organize, but at the same time, I'm not seeing the Russians organizing as of yet.
One possibility is they're playing rope-a-dope, you know, drag as many Ukrainian assets into Kursk as the region as they can, and then just wipe them out. You know, one difference between the 1944 battle was that the Germans lost their element of surprise. By the time they finally started out, the Russians had prepared huge defenses, and it doesn't appear they've had any defenses to stop the Ukrainians, at least at this point.
Yeah, I'm not a cheerleader for either side. I'm just calling the facts as I see them. And so speculating that the Russians are somehow strategic geniuses at this point in time, I mean, I'm sorry, they've done nothing but lose horrendous resources. Yeah, they made some gains, but they've lost horrendous resources over and over again. So I'm not seeing any evidence of any grand strategy here on the Russian side other than
Colonel Mills, let me ask you.
Lose a lot of resources.
Just sort of final question before we let you go, because I know you have your great book, you know, about the deep state. Where can people get it? And because I think that particularly now your insights are just so important.
Well, thank you, Julie and Chuck. It's War Against the Deep State and the Nation Will Follow. You can find signed copies, because a lot of people ask me about signed copies. So go to Lindell My Store. And you can get some great package discounts there of the signed copies. If you just want to get it from Amazon, then just go to Amazon. There's other places too, but those are the two primary.
Sure.
This is where you can learn about the deep state, me being inside and fighting with my colleagues who were actively trying to run a coup against candidate and then President Trump, and then also the foundations of the modern mass surveillance system, which have been weaponized against the American people.
All right, that's sir. Great. Thank you for your time and your insight. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Chuck and Julie. Thank you. It's an honor to be on your show again. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care. And Charlene was saying, so that was Colonel John Mills. He has a great book out. Some people say the volume was a little low. He has a great book out, The War Against the Deep State. He said, if you want to get a signed copy, you can go to Mike Lindell's website, My Store. It's like the pillow guy, right? You go, there's a part there, it says My Store, and he has all kinds of stuff. So you can get signed copies. But his name is Colonel John Mills. You can also get it on Amazon. Hey, Chuck, on Friday.
Which is a good point, because if you want to meet Mike Lindell, he'll be down at the El Paso County Lincoln Day dinner with Vicki Tompkins and everything else. So if you'd like to meet Mondale, there's tickets left.
On Saturday.
On Saturday. So head on down there. I'll be there. So it should be a great event.
It should be. That's right. And that's going to wrap it up for us a little bit today. On Friday, I want to let folks know. So the special session is going to be held on starting Monday, where essentially insiders and Democrats are going to be meeting to try to decide how to screw us out of more property taxes so we don't get a chance to vote on it. Representative Brandi Bradley, who is just amazing, is going to be on with us Friday to kind of talk about that. And she doesn't seem, she said she doesn't think anyone in their caucus is going to vote for it. But she said,
she doesn't know.
Yeah.
She doesn't know
well,
very
it depends
well.
On you. Maybe she meant her people, right? Her people.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah,
But we'll have her on there. Chuck, we'll let you get back to putting out the Glendale Terry Creek Chronicle.
All
Thank
right.
you, Doug, everybody at BBS. And we will see everybody on Party Friday.